It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to Tyrus and Tim. I'm, of course, Tyrus and my co-captain, the Tim.
Yes, indeed.
And Devin is back from, we'll call it, sabbatical.
I was at reading camp, actually. I was practicing all of my reading skills. But, you know, I learned my lesson this time. I need to read slower.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Is that what we're doing? Okay. But I wasn't playing when I said Kat and I were not kicking in on bail. So
yep, we can't.
I'm not sure who came through. I think Jason finally broke down. We can't keep doing it. You're not learning the lesson. You know, I just feel like you come home for a few weeks, everything's great. You're back to crocheting, decorating, getting ready for Halloween 3 months in advance. And you get one phone call from your homies in the hood and you just gone. I got to go. You know, it's embarrassing. I was in the car with you that one time when they called you. And he's like, what? What the? Hold on. Where you at? I'll be there in 3 minutes, dog. I need your car. I'm like, no, D, you can't have my, give me the car. I got to drop you off in the corner. No witnesses on me. I'm like, all right, D. And then Kat's sitting at the restaurant. What happened? D got a call on her flip phone again. So she had to be, quote, out. And did she say, why? No, don't ask me about my business. Break bread or play dead. So and that was the last time we saw you. So I'm glad you're back. Looks like you got a new prison tag. Congratulations. Which cell block did you run this time? Was it A and B or?
I had them all on lock.
Still yeah, top bunk, bottom bunk?
I had them all under my thumb. Don't worry about it.
Cellmate sleeping on the floor because you had the double mattress. I feel you. All right. Well, Devin's back, Kat. And I'm trying to make sense of this. Why don't we, as a society, ever get it right? A grand jury with the Breonna Taylor situation, I assume that we would have a court of law decide whether it was a reckless killing or a horrible accident. I thought we would hear arguments to make us understand, and the grand jury basically came back and used self-defense, which was crazy because typically you're not allowed to use that in a grand jury. That's for the jury. You know, grand juries, you just listen.
Yeah, also self-defense that. Against a sleeping person is, you know,
yeah,
not really buying that.
Also, the walls and the neighbors will get justice. They'll get an opportunity to prove whether the officer was reckless or not with the actual charged officer. Which, if we just take away everything, let's take the race and everything away from it. If somebody came right now in the studio and we're all in the studio right now and somebody banged on the door and we of course said, who is it? And they didn't respond. And let's just, for this argument, let's just say everything that we know is factual. And they kicked in the door and am I allowed to, as I live in Louisiana, I can carry a firearm and I legally own a firearm that I can carry. Shoot them. They're trying to come in the door. I shoot one of them. I shoot in the leg to stop them. I don't empty my clip on them. And then it turns out they're police officers and they unload their weapons and kill Devin, but don't shoot me. I'm arrested and taken in and I'm actually charged with shooting of a police officer, but no justice for Devin. Devin was an innocent bystander who was killed by the police. I think they would have to answer for that. I mean, if you shoot at a robber and you hit a child, you have to answer for that. You know, it doesn't mean that they're guilty. It doesn't mean that they're murderers necessarily. It means that it could have been a tragic accident to where, but I need to hear from these police officers. I need to understand how this isn't as bad as it looks. You know, I think as I think the country, at least Breonna Taylor's family, was entitled to that and didn't get that. So it's very, like, the questions in my head are like deafening. And so, I mean, I feel like I have to apologize to Breonna Taylor. I feel like I have to say, I'm sorry you didn't get justice. I mean, this was, she was an EMT. She was all about saving lives.
Yeah. You know?
And then here's the other side of it. The protests result in the shooting of two police officers.
Right, right, right.
It's not a protest anymore.
There's no way that you're going to achieve justice by creating additional victims. That doesn't make sense. Third. And there does need to be justice, and I agree with you. And it's people are tired of over and over again seeing these things happen, and they're not really being the level of accountability that there really needs to be. And people do have questions, and why shouldn't there be have that all out on the table in the form of a trial, like you said? I completely agree with you. We need to look into, I'm totally against the no-knock raids in the first place. I feel like that was completely unnecessary, given all the facts that I do know about the case. I mean, we're talking about a nonviolent situation, you know, and in the wrong house and all this stuff. It's like, you know, like, that was completely unnecessary. We need to look at that. And then we need to look at the lack of accountability that we continually see in these cases, or even, as you pointed out, the lack of examination of what that accountability should be.
Here's the cold part. When protesters or people who are backing the protests, when they are then challenged, well, how can you call this a protest? Two officers were shot and property was damaged and burned, etc. And you know what their answer is now? Is, well, the protests were mostly peaceful, but there was just a couple bad actors. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar to anybody else?
Yeah, exactly.
They just switched out Apple with actors. So you've literally become what you hate, what you're standing against. You use the same form of intellect with your arguments. Yeah, you know, it's just a couple bad Apple cops, but overall the police departments across the country are good. Well, protests are mostly peaceful, just a couple bad actors. They don't represent us. Okay, so we can just go back to accepting it. And I don't think that's acceptable. I don't think you can complain about one side and literally do the exact same thing when you make an argument. And that just goes to show that we just do not, in this country, for whatever reason, we are allergic to accountability across the board. Martin Luther King is remembered because in the face of his enemies, and the law was on the side of the guys with the batons and the hoses and the dogs. You never hear about the battle he was in where he and laid cops out and cops were killed. He is remembered and revered because he was able to be peaceful in a time when most men and women would have met violence with violence. And that's what these protests are missing. The minute it becomes violent, you end the protest. You stop because your message is lost. Nobody who's unaffected is going to see what happened after the Breonna Taylor ruling and say, oh, okay, I get it. The news is going to be filled with police officers were shot. They're both in surgery fighting for their lives right now.
Yeah, and especially because not only does it, you know, make the people who are processing peacefully, like, make them look bad, it also changes, like you said, makes the conversation about that, and also makes it a lot easier for people to call for more aggressive, you know, a more aggressive police state and that sort of thing. So it's not like it's unrelated violence. It's related in the fact that it actually makes things worse for what they claim to want to achieve.
Because as a police officer, if I would have watched two of my partners get shot down by from a mob, I would have returned fire.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, they're incredibly lucky. And here's the thing. Unfortunately, the guy shooting probably wouldn't have got the ones hit. You know, like, I mean, because, you know, it would have been the crowd that got hit. People in the crowd would have got hit. Like, once the murders happened, or the building burns, you stop becoming protesters and you become citizens in terms of arresting or stopping or getting buckets of water and putting out the fire. You know what I'm saying? You change your direction to show that you're about peace and equality for everyone. If a police officer is shot, you don't chant, "That's what you get." You know, you're a human being. The whole point is that you want humanity to win out, not prove the point of every person who thinks they have a reason to think that minorities are always in the wrong. We're always drug dealers. We're always murderers. We're always rapists. Because look what we do. You know, they don't separate. Even though we are a capitalist society based on individual achievement, we're thrown into these groups, and it's really difficult to, you can't argue it. And Kat, you cannot win with against ignorance, because ignorance is like an octopus. It can grab anything and pull it in and make it work. And that's literally what we're seeing right now. We're seeing supposed elected officials using, well, some bad actors. And then on the other side, well, some bad apples.
Such a situation where we should, like, these issues are things that we, like, should have in common. I mean, like, polls show all the time that most Americans do want some level of police reform. And it's like, we are united on this, but we get so lost in the exact, like, weeds that you're talking about and the stupid arguments that we're not addressing the very real issue. And it's bull.
You know, the only way you're going to fix the issues in the police department, and as you start at the top, I've always said, taking money away from the police officers themselves hurts the community, makes us less safe. But if you start hitting the top, if you start qualified immunity against politicians, the way their decisions they can be held accountable for, if you start making police chiefs responsible, that is real change. And ultimately, it's putting term limits on the Senate and the House to where we don't have these old school career politicians who will never make any kind of meaningful change because it's just not good enough for them. They have insurance. They have speaking engagements where they make six figures to talk. You know, they become millionaires when they're in there. So there is no reason for them to change anything. And those are honestly the only two things that work. And literally it would take a president crazy enough to even, I don't even know if you could do an executive order on term limits. But I think that's the only way you could get it in, because they're not going to vote against themselves.
Right. No,
because they literally, yeah,
they're going into these jobs. They get paid a lot, but not like, so, you know, and then they stay there and they come out like multimillionaires because of like lobbying connections. It's like, you're supposed to work for us, not to work to make yourself rich.
I mean, the cool part is like Bernie Sanders, who I have a lot of respect for. But then when I look at the fact he has two mansions, did he have two mansions when he went in? You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole situation with the Supreme Court justice pick is what? Is because of the corrupt Senate. It's not President Trump. Had absolutely nothing to do. He wasn't in office when they decided to steal a pick from Obama and start the whole division party. And then now, lo and behold, something happens. He has every right to make this pick. You cannot argue with it, but we're fighting over it because of what the Senate has done. Because Mitch McConnell is as corrupt as it gets. And, you know, and then you get the only one is worse than him is probably the leader of the House. And then you saw exactly who she was at the hair salon. I know that sounds like such a petty thing, but it's not. It's not. Especially in San Francisco and California, where ask Dr. Drew, ask anybody who lives in California, they are not playing. If something's shut down and you try to go or you do it, the fines are ridiculous. The public shaming is even worse. And here she decided she wanted to get her hair done. So she made a salon open up for her. And then when she got caught, basically.
She said she didn't know, which is like, okay, let's say she didn't. Obviously she did, but let's suspend reality. I'm pretty sure she knows about Max. I'm pretty sure she knows about Max. Because June, she's been saying, oh, we're long overdue for a mask mandate. It's like, okay, don't know if about authority to do that, but I do know you have the authority to put one on your own face. Start there. And then she like played the victim in that situation. It's just, it makes me just.
The salon owner got death threats.
Yeah.
You know, even worse, bad Yelp reviews. You know, like she went after her full force. And speaking of death threats, I have a package sent to my door.
Okay.
That says, this side up, handle with care. I just want you to know how it was delivered. All right, so as you see, it's placed on the ground wrong. So I'm going to turn it up this way. So now it says side up. All right, I'm going to use, everyone uses to open their box, my keys.
Yes.
Preferably the house key that I don't use anymore, and I'm too lazy to take off that circle because it is a pain in the to get that key off that thing. That's why you end up with the keychain looking like a janitor, because we just don't go out of our way. So I have opened the box up and I have not blown up. So we're winning right now, Kat.
All right, yeah, that's good.
I am now okay. It's a piece of cardboard. It's from Walt Disney.
Nice.
This is okay. I have been invited. Admit fun. That's always nice on a ticket. They're guaranteeing fun.
I see what they did there. Instead of admit one, admit fun.
One, admit fun. All right. Magic of Disney's. Wait, let me get my glasses. Don't want to get this wrong. You're invited to the premiere screening of National Geographic's Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom. What? 9/25/2020. This is a fun bag.
What's that?
Well, here's the thing. My daughter and my son, my daughters, my sons, they love Disneyland, and they love animals. The animal shows, Animal Kingdom is the part of Disney World. That's like where you go see the animals and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it rude if we just look at a couple of things without them?
No, let's do it.
Devin says no. Okay, all right. But I will, here's what I'll do. I'll put it back exactly the way it was. So that way they'll know nothing. Unless it's something really cool, and then I'll keep it. And they don't need to know. Until they make me mad, and then I'll bring it up. But yeah, that's why I took this out the bag, because you don't do your homework. All right. A bag within a bag. It's a Animal Kingdom kind of. Oh, it's like a backpack for Walt Disney World. So like, if you went to
free travel.
Yeah. All right. I can't fit it, but that's fine. Alter Echo Salted Caramel. I don't know. I'm assuming this is like healthy candy. Okay, whatever. Still candy. I'm with it. Magic Disney Animal Kingdom. Something in a package. It's not soap, but it's.
It looks like it might be soap.
I think that's the wrong message for a movie. I don't think you want to bathe with the children while you watch a movie. A little alcohol, perhaps? Nope. It's cucumber and mint lemonade, okay?
But it looks like wine, so if, like, kids can pretend to be alcoholics.
Yeah. And hopefully they like cucumber and mint lemonade. I'm going to say that that's probably not going to go down, but I'll drink it. Now we're getting into the fun stuff. Hello, giraffe Mickey ears.
Oh, I want those.
If we had a green room, I'd give it to you. And then, this kind of looks like somebody you know. It's a hippo, but it kind of looks like Carl.
It does. It looks just like Carl.
Like, we could literally throw a little tongue right there and a collar, and we'd be like, hey, it's Carl. That's pretty cool. What else we got in here? Oh, an elephant mama and her baby.
Oh, and look
at a responsible elephant dad on his weekend visit with his baby. We're gonna go with that one. It's dad and his baby. He's got him for the weekend. He pays his child support and he gets his. All right, awesome. Some kind of neck. Okay, this is part of shipping. All right, that's and then whoa, they really went all out on this. Check it out, kids. It's a giant book. I know it's a book. You These things were really popular back when I was a kid.
Back in the
you
day.
You actually have to open them up and read them. You know, you don't download them. Is this a bedtime storybook, you bastards? No, I mean, thank you. All right. Poster art of Disney parks. So basically, I don't know if I'm going to show this to the kids because this would be like, oh, I want to go there.
Good thinking. Set yourself up.
So it's a really awesome book. It has all kinds of pictures of the exciting things you get to do. Look at Devin. Look at Devin's hands. Those of you who cannot see her, she's clutching like she wants to reach through. She looks like an angry squirrel trying to get an acorn through a little glass, like a piece of glass. She can't reach it. So she's just scratching. Look, she's embarrassed because she knows it's true. She wants everything in this bag. Everything in this bag. You know what, Devin? Had you not been incarcerated, I would have gave you this bag. But, oh, cool. So it's like Jungle River. So then it tells like each ride of Animal Kingdom, where it came from and stuff. This is pretty cool. This is not, oh, cool. It's got movies like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Cat, Adam Sandler's not in this. So you didn't see it. Pirates of the Caribbean, Frontierland. So
I'm just glad that you opened it and it didn't, we were expecting when it said fragile, no return sender, that it was going to be something scary, but.
So this is really cool. And I will be tuning in with the kids watching National Geographic's. This is the one part of being quote unquote celebrity that kids like that is really fun because you get to do things like this. And although the backpack doesn't fit, but my children will like it. It's, you know what, Kat? This is like getting an award. And speaking of awards.
Hold on to your steering wheels, folks. We'll be right back after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So, Kat, I don't know, Devin, if you're familiar. Kat and I had a major coup victory on the Greg Gutfeld Show, which you can check out Saturday nights.
At 10 p.m. only on Fox News Channel.
We are now, it's the Greg Gutfeld Show with Kat and Tyrus. And if I have the transcripts and the video, it's on my Instagram. So if he pulls any tricks, we will protest.
Yeah, we're not desk invitations. We have expectations to show up. Yeah. Fired.
You know, I admit that I did not meet with Kat prior to. I just said, I'm going for it. And
I backed you
up. She had my back before, and she backed me up. I kicked in the door, and I kind of looked out the corner of my eye, and I didn't see her going. Like, I love being guests. Guests actually my favorite word, you know. So, because it could have gone the other way. Would have been like, you know, Waters and Judge Jeanine have no problem being guests. They want to be on a number one show. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being number two and three respectively flip-flopping, but, I mean, everybody wants to be on the big dance, you know, that is the Greg Gutfeld Show. But we can't get Emmys, which we would have won, again, back-to-back. So our award is now with, and I'm getting hashtag with shirts made. So
everyone
will know that Greg Gutfeld with Kat and Tyrus. I think a quarter or half a decade, you're no longer a guest. I mean, think about it, Devin. If I'm you and your fiance have this lovely home and I come by for the weekend and I'm there for 4 years, I don't think you can say Tyrus is our guest anymore. You know, probably at some point you're going to ask me about rent.
A lot sooner than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think guest runs out after day four. I think once someone stays at your house a week, they're no longer a guest unless it's like family for Thanksgiving.
Well, my friend came for what was supposed to be a long weekend, but it'll be a month on Tuesday. But I love it. I love having him here.
How does Cam feel about that?
great because he's working nonstop right now until the end of the month. And it makes his life a lot easier because I'm not like, babe, I need attention. Me and Keith, we just hang out. You know, I do my work on my laptop. We watch the Teen Mother television.
You know, I always ask my friends to come stay for a while, but for some reason they're always busy. They won't. They'll fly in from New Orleans and like hang out in the front yard with me. But when I say, hey, you want to go inside and play Xbox? Like, nah, we're good. I'm gonna head back. It's good seeing you though, bro. You know, and then get your ass in the house and start dinner. Oh, I've got to go, guys. So, you know, you're like, wow, your daughter's lovely. Thank you. I'm hungry, Dad, now. So, you know, my friends don't get to stay very long. But I'm hoping one of them, you know, a month's a long time. Because then you got to start thinking about rent, you know. I mean, it just, you know what, it really depends on if someone's a good guest or a bad guest. You know, like a good guest kicks in on dinner sometimes, or they'll even like, hey, I was going to the store and I got us all some Gatorades and some Doritos and stuff, you know.
We'll come back, bring us coffee. Oh, yeah.
So basically, you have a personal assistant.
Yes. And it's great because I've been posting, you know, he's been on my Instagram a lot. And I don't read the comments, but he has been a little bit. And what is so funny is every time I post with any man on my Instagram, they think it's Cam. Keith, for reference, is a tiny blonde gay gymnast. So,
wow, that's a lot of G's.
Looks a lot different than Cam. And people will post and they'll be like, he looks different. Or they'll be like, oh, like who, or, you know, like they don't understand that I can have friends who are guys. Well, someone's like, I thought you just got engaged to another guy. Or like, and if they do realize it's different, they're like, wait, what do you, like, your poor boyfriend, he's got his arm around you. Or like, or they'll be like, oh, he's like kind of short. Like, I didn't know he was that short. It's like, I don't know which is worse. The ones who don't understand, like, I have friends who are dudes, or the ones who don't understand, like.
Well, two things. One, wake Carl up.
I know.
And two,
and he's just.
Here's the thing. I'm just, when you do that impersonation, it's always the same voice. Is there a particular person that you're doing? Is there somebody in your life that has annoyed you to the point where his voice is always your go-to annoying guy voice? Is it an ex-boyfriend, a kid at school? Because it's always the same voice. And I feel like somewhere someone's going, I don't know why she always talks about me like that. I don't even sound that way. Does that even sound like me? Because it's the same voice. It's distinct. Like, we could dress you up and you could be that guy. Like, we could create a character called Carl the Journalist.
It's happening for so long. It's like, duh. But I don't know where it comes from necessarily. Carl.
Because you know what? And here's another thing. Guys ask stupid questions because they're trying to get perverted answers. You know, like, oh, that's not your fiance. Yeah, I hang out with whoever I want to. I live my life. Oh, for real? For real? Oh, so would you like to hang out sometime? Actually, yes. Yes, thanks for bringing that to my attention. Where are you at? I'm flying to you. I'll be there tomorrow. You know what? Just be in a bathrobe and have a Cool Whip, Hershey Kisses, and a giant tub of butter. Let's just have fun. Oh, my God, this is so great. That's what goes in their ridiculous, stupid heads. Instead of just like, look at the picture, man. She's having fun. She's with a friend. If you feel, whoa. Hey, morning. Sorry, guys. Hate to interrupt. Catherine's here. Gee, we only started 45 minutes ago. How are we doing? Need anything? Kat, you want to get her a coffee?
Yeah.
You good? You want me to fill you in on what we missed? On what you missed? Your behavior is shocking. Kat, I'm shocked. Can you believe this? Well, hello, Catherine, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen of the planet, I was rudely interrupted by... Okay, now it all makes sense, Kat. Dalmatian Detective Agency solves it again.
Another case.
Catherine bailed Devin out, and the deal was... I get to talk, and I get to show up to work when I want to, and I want Starbucks gift cards and I want to talk whenever I want to. And Devin, she was looking at another 6 to 8 because, you know, ever since you jumped bail, no bail bondsman's covering you. So that's what happened. So congratulations, Catherine. That's everyone. Thank you. Thank you. You know, any, show up anytime you want. It's your world. If make it to you. Well, just so you know, Walt Disney, not him, he's dead. Obviously, he can't send anything. But Walt, the people, the good people of Animal Kingdom sent me a care package and invited me to their premiere this week, Admit Fun. I don't know if it's cool as your Starbucks gift card, but I got giraffe ears. So, you know, just saying. And Devin thought it was a bomb. So I'm really winning right now. Cat, Carl's awake now because the sound of Catherine's voice scared the light. Look how his eyes are wide open. He's terrified. I think he's as shocked as I am that she was not just talking, but interrupting aggressively. There's a lot of aggression. There's a lot of aggression. You know, and Devin is just quietly sitting there. Normally, Devin would be like, oh, we're editing this. And Cat and Tyler, you want to give me a few minutes? We would then be muted, and then we would just see, because Devin talks with her hands a lot when she yells, and Catherine tends to grab her face a lot when she doesn't want to deal with things. So there's a lot of, see, like she's doing right now, there's a lot of body language and stuff going on. But Devin is helpless because she knows she owes Catherine a substantial amount of money. Because as, you know, those of us who've never been arrested, myself, Kat, correct, Kat, you have never been incarcerated?
I've never been arrested.
Yeah, so we're not really familiar with the proceedings of bail. I've had to bail out friends. Devin, I've just been
the back of her hand.
Oh yeah, Devin could literally. She says her rights to the police. I know. Right to remain silent. Anything I say can and will be used against me in a court of law. I have a right to an attorney. I have a right to. You know, I get it. Cool. Let's go. Let's do this. All right. I handcuffed myself. Use the fuzzy ones, please. I get it. But shall we do a story before we leave? Now that Catherine's here, we can start the show. Pick one. Devin, are you allowed to read it this week?
I told you I got back from reading camp. So I guess there's so many good ones this week. I'm not sure.
Just pick one.
Ticklish Rats, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Researchers from the University of Bristol used a behavioral test on lab rats that measures their emotional experience while tickling them and listening for squeaks. Rats emit high frequency vocalizations, which, when produced during human simulated play or tickling, are thought to be similar to human laughter. Previously, it had been impossible to know how much any individual rat likes being tickled without.
Glad we figured that out.
Without a time consuming and long behavioral study. The team from Bristol said their new technique could allow scientists to determine a rat's mood simply by tickling them and listening to their squeak frequency. But note, not all rats like to be tickled, and some emit high numbers of calls, whilst others did not, and the calls directly link with their emotional experience, the team found. The Bristol team...
Just because you're laughing while you're being tickled, by the way, does not mean you like it.
The Bristol team set out to answer the question, do rats like to be tickled, as part of their study, and compared it to human laughter when tickled. Without being able to ask an animal how it feels, researchers must rely on other methods, which have their limitations. In future, the research team wants to look at whether similar associations are found between vocalizations and positive and negative emotional experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I always laugh when I'm tickled. I'm very ticklish, but I do not like it. It's like, I'm so ticklish that it interferes with my life sometimes. Like, for example, yesterday I got a pedicure, very ticklish feet. So, and it's very embarrassing because I'm an adult woman and I'm sitting there in the chair and I'm like giggling and like, and I almost kicked the woman in the face yesterday a few times. And everyone's always looking at me. They're like, aw. I'm like, no, it's not cute. I am in pain.
This is difficult for me to talk about because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, and maybe when you pick the story, if you were, it really shows how insensitive you are. I am tickle intolerant. I am not ticklish, so I don't know
That's good.
Issue.
Don't embarrass yourself if you.
It's not good because as a child, when like people try to tickle you, they become offended and like they just dig in your armpit more. And it's like, look, mom's boyfriend number 8. I'm not ticklish, okay? I'm not gonna laugh. I'm not gonna smooth this over. You're in my living room with jeans on the floor, bro. I don't feel like laughing right now. I know what you're doing. Just let me get my Captain Crunch and be on my way in my room, okay? Thank you. Not ticklish. Not gonna laugh. Not happening. Crying on the inside. Thank you. Scarred for life. I hope my legs are never small and hairy. Jesus Christ. So yeah, I'm not a big tickle guy, you know, but there was one time in my life where I thought maybe I started to experience the joy of being not even the horror cat of being tickled. I get pedicures. I've done it my entire athletic career because my feet are my money. So I talk that way, Devin. So mocking me. Yes, I'm rhythmic. It's one of my cultural things. I move when I talk. I know the counts. But I had to, and this one Asian lady was scrubbing and she did something. And as she was scrubbing the bottom of my foot, I thought it tickled. And my first reaction was to kick. Now, I just want to let you know, as a gentleman with a size 17 shoe, a slight kick for me is right up there with running in the wrong end of a mule, if you catch my drift. She was knocked out of a chair, and I was like, I am so sorry. And she was, you know, and immediately, even though she was startled and scared, I was like, no, it's okay. You know when people say it's okay, but it's not okay? You're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. All the tray was knocked over. That blue, salty stuff they rub on your, like, legs and feet at the end when they're done was everywhere. And she's like, I'll just mix some more. And I'm like, no, it's cool. We'll just call it good, you know, and then her partner next to her in a language that I was not affluent in was basically saying Bigfoot. I'm pretty sure it was Bigfoot. Like, you let a goddamn Sasquatch in here, and now he's kicked and ruined everything. He's ruined everything. Like, it went on for quite some time.
But the other language, she's not saying, it's not okay. She's making it, it's not okay.
Yeah, because she clearly needed to go to the other language, so I would not hear her say, basically, you let a big Sasquatch in here, and you wonder why. You wonder why he's kicked over everything. This is why size 8 and under, no 17s. So I get it. I just feel like, and then the other thing, Kat, how bad do you think the human race is going to feel when this whole party's over, and if there is a god or whatever or alien ship, and we're sitting down there and most of us will say things like, I never killed another human being, so I'm ready to come in. Whoa, bro. Do you realize that the way this planet worked was everybody had feelings and ideas and emotions and families? Huh?
True.
Sir, you massacred in your lifetime 1.2 million chickens, 35 million cows. That's just you, sir. That's just you. You had over a ton of fish that you kept incarcerated in refugee camp type styles. You are a serial killer, sir. You are not coming in. And just so you know, they all were ticklish. You had an opportunity to give them joy and you didn't. And you didn't. You know, and you were really mean to snakes. They didn't have arms, couldn't defend themselves. So hell is that way, sir. A lot of us will be shocked. Like, all four of us will be in the elevator like, for real? I swatted a fly, for real? And we'll be like, just a fly? Just a fly? Well, apparently that fly was a writer, and we never got our new constitution because you killed him. So there you go. We're starting to see they're more like us than we realize. The fact that rats can laugh means that rats can cry. And I leave you with that. Mic drop.
Kat, what did you
come on, man?
The reason we haven't, you know, solved this pandemic issue is because we're focusing on more important stuff, like are rats ticklish?
Yeah.
So the scientists are on that now. That's great. Just feel great.
Kat, the next time you're in New York and a giant sewer rat jumps in your path, instead of getting a shoe or a gun, grab a feather. Go to work. They'll run from you. They'll spread in the rat Twitter. Chimp knows the tickle. Run. You're adding tickle rat to your team? Okay. And I would like to add Walt Disney's Animal Kingdom, which debuts this Friday to my team. Special screening, admittance fund is being added to my team. So my entire team gets a gift bag. The gift that keeps giving. Though I don't fit on your rides, I thank you. See that? Yeah, Catherine burns, doesn't it? Look at Devin following it. Oh, Devin. You want it, Devin? Here, catch. Okay. Look at you want it so bad. See, you should have seen her. I learned that Devin can look exactly like a hungry squirrel if she wants to. She was like this on this. If you were here on time, Catherine, you would have seen her. She was like the every time I pulled someone, she was, it was like watching The Price is Right, like reruns were like, this toaster. Oh my God, it's a toaster. I love it. Like, it was just, it was great. That's what I learned today. So, for more podcasts like this, why, Kat? Why?
Yeah.
Check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. She's the temp. Devin's back. And rats cry. Nope.
Ah!
It's the second time. Just doesn't work. All right, enough said. We're gone.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.